You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
You see, this book, Steps to Christ, as the title speaks for itself, is supposed to help us in getting closer to Jesus, the steps we take to Him. But as one pastor once said, that as you get acquainted with Christ, you realize the book doesn't become obsolete. You don't need it anymore. It's only elementary stuff. You are fine now. You had a relationship with Christ. No. It's almost like the book turns, the title that is, from being steps to Christ to being steps with Christ. And so you'd need it all the time. If you're wondering what we're talking about, it's a book that was written a couple of centuries back by a lady called Ellen G. White. And the book has been labeled as one of the most proficient of books in trying to elaborate what a Christian life is all about. In fact, it's the most translated book by a female author. Over 150 languages that it's available in. And we are inviting you to share in the reading as we go through it every week, twice a week, right here on the Mid-Morning Empowerment. So get yourself a copy. If you want a copy, let us know. +27 73 470 3520. That's the number you can get in touch with us on. Or visit a local Seventh-day Adventist church and say, hey, I heard on the wireless, I heard on the radio, they're talking about some book, Steps to Christ or something of the other. Can I get a copy? And definitely they will be more than willing to assist you. It's a very small read, 13 chapters, which you can get over in, some have even been known to do it in over a day. It's quite an interesting read, and many have read it many times over. That's just how important the book is. Now, surrendering to God, we're in chapter 5, by the way, consecration. That's what we started off on Tuesday with. And as we continue, one thing you pick up is that in talking about consecration, surrendering to God is a pivotal step in this idea, especially in the Christian journey. Now, this chapter, chapter 5, consecration, explores what it truly means to give yourself fully to God, to be totally sold out, consecrated, as it were, right? It reminds of the song we were singing earlier on, "Will I be satisfied with you?" You're totally given over to Him. What does that mean? And many people struggle with letting go, fearing the loss of control. To say, if I let Him take everything in my life, what will I be left with? Will He manage it properly as I would have? You know, those kind of fears are the issues that sometimes help make people hold back in terms of giving their everything to God. And so this chapter serves to try and ease our consciences, if you will. And let us know that not only is He able and capable, but He does a better job than you. I mean, it's Martin Luther, the reformer, is it not, who is noted as saying, "I have held many things in my hands, but I've lost them all, and the only things I still possess are the ones I committed to God's hands." So this idea of consecration, of giving Him your life, oh, Wabba Fett, it's actually the best thing you can do for yourself. I mean, that's an outflow where you find the outflow of it coming out in Job's writing. I think it's chapter 13. He says in verse 15, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Because he has understood, no, His killings are savings. His slaying is life to me. It is purpose driven. And so that's what this is all about. You know, that God can truly help you and make you better than you were. True peace, true transformation comes when we fully trust in God's will and we surrender to that. So this chapter challenges us to move beyond partial commitment, to from profession, lip service, to us fully giving of our lives in verity to God, in us embracing a life fully devoted to Christ. And we acknowledge that we are now living a much, much better life than we've ever done before when that happens. Let's share some quick talking points from the second half of the lesson. One thing that comes out is God's plan can be trusted. So the chapter, if you remember, he started off with a quotation from Jeremiah 29 verse 13, right? And it addresses how important it is to seek after God, as it were. And his promise is, you will find me if you seek for me with your whole heart. Now, the one thing that comes up is Jeremiah 29:13 comes after that very popular verse 11, which says, I know the plans I have for you, right? Plans of an expected end to not harm you, right? That's God's sentiment over your life, over my life. And so one thing that comes out in the second half of this chapter is God has a plan. Now he's calling us to trust that plan. So the call to trust God's plan is very apparent. And consecration, giving our lives over to his, surrendering it to him, means trusting that God's plans are far better than ours, right? Even when we don't see the full picture of God's plan. And that's the other thing, right? To say, because I trust, and trust means that by definition, that you don't need to know the details for you to then trust me. It's one thing to say, no, I know the whole plan. Now I'm just trusting you to be able to undertake it. It's different when you're saying, actually, part of the plan I don't even understand. I don't even know it. And the parts that I do know, some of them are just too mind-boggling for me. But he says, Oksalayo, what I'm saying is, I got you. And then you say, I'm at ease then. I'm okay. That's what it's about. And without that, that's an assertion also we can make from this chapter, is that without that understanding of surrender, and when we say surrender, it's almost like we mean it in a negative connotation, in a negative context. No, that's not the case. When we speak surrender, it's willing. It's almost at ease, at peace. You're like, whew, finally, ngazenga pumula. That kind of surrender that you're like, at rest. Then he says, my plan will see you through. And the question I want to ask you, my friend, is what role does faith, your faith, play in overcoming the uncertainty of the future when you have surrendered? How much do you now need to rely on faith? Will your faith be able to carry you through? Will your anchor hold, as some would have said? So that's an important call that comes through from this second half of this chapter. And I pray that you make time to truly grasp that for yourself. Oh, yes. Let's take another point. Another point that comes out is that most times, because of what surrender has meant, and I kind of made the point earlier on, but most times when you have surrender in the equation, it usually means your life fades away as the life of whom you've surrendered to blossoms. And almost your will, your desires, your pursuits cease to exist as you now drive the agenda of the one you've surrendered to. Right, that's what surrender means, and it entails. And it becomes quite key, quite important, that we understand that in this regard, when we surrender our lives to Christ, actually the exact opposite is what transpires. That there is power in a fully surrendered life. Power that you would have never gotten if you were holding on to your own life and were undertaking it by your own strength. Which is a fascinating concept as you look at it in this regard, right? That there is power in a fully surrendered life. When we commit ourselves entirely to God, He transforms us. He gives us strength and purpose beyond what we could have ever achieved on our own. Ever. And that is something I think the devil knows you'll be too good with, and so he always tries to hide that fact from you. Deception becomes his key. No, when you become a Christian, you don't have any will anymore. It's always a life of do's and don'ts, and then you know someone else is in charge of your life, and he makes you miss the point of liberty, that there is liberty in Christ. Earlier on, we were having a conversation and the passage out of John chapter 10 came up, verse number 10, that Christ's purpose in life is to give us life and life in its abundance. In another book by the same author that we are reading from, she makes mention of how in Christ there was life underived, unborrowed, genuine life, original. And he's saying, I can give that to you. But the thief, the enemy of souls, the accuser of the brethren, is busy instituting John 10 verse 10's first part. He's busy stealing, he's busy killing, he's busy destroying your life. And he all does it in a garb of, it's good for you. Remember, that's how he got our first parents in the Garden of Eden? No. I, what I'm telling you guys is actually for your benefit. You take this thing and you'll be better than you've ever been in life. God had said, don't touch. And they're like, this one here hates us. And you can see it repeats on a daily basis. Even in your life, if you try to look at it and really understand the underlyings and the undertones of this idea, this principle, operating principle, Satan, you can see it. Ooh, no man. He repeats this. He's like a one-trick horse. He repeats the same model over and over and over. He just customizes it to you and my situation. But otherwise, it's the same. He comes and he says, guys, what I've got is the best thing, sliced bread. And then you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And then he says, look, I've got life. You eat this thing, you become wise. Right now, there's a lot you don't know. And if you eat this, you know it all. But God said, no, God is hindering you progress. And you look at it, you're like, yeah, maybe actually there are quite a lot of things I don't know. And why really does God not want me to eat this? He's just asking stupid questions like that. And at the end of the day, you think you've got knowledge, but actually what you've got is death. And be careful that in this life, he does the same thing. You become a Christian. You lose this, you lose that. You don't have access to this. No, you mustn't do this. And he controls your life. This Jesus, this man in the sky. And he sounds like, wait a minute, I think he's got a point. I think I can control my life. Freedom is me doing what I want, when I want, how I want. Ijelelelo, one singer once said. Ijele, that's jail, that's imprisonment. Pume jele mzalwane, come out of prison. And this chapter is showing you and I the tricks on how to undertake that. Galatians 2:20 puts it clearly. To say that when we get crucified with Christ, when we die to self, Colossians 3 would add, when we mortify the members of our bodies, we actually find we start living. It's almost like you get resurrected to life 2.0. And 2.0, if you're going to ask anyone in the technical field, is always better than the first version. Alpha is a tryout. The beta is always something that is better than the alpha. So, encouragement to you and I, my friend, is I go man, ketanu Jesu, choose Jesus and unlock life 2.0 for yourself. It's an encouragement I'm giving it over to you. The ball is on your court. You can do as you please. Let me read you a testimony before we then wrap up our session for this morning. This is from Pastor Charlie, who heads out as a pastor in Wrangell SDA Church. It's a bit of an oldie. He wrote this, I think, some time back. But here's what he says. We're speaking about chapter 5, consecration, right? Remember, we're closing off the chapter today. And he says, this chapter was difficult for me. So as you read, be ready to and willing to allow God to remove any character defects. That's what consecration is about, cleansing and refining. I didn't know God had not developed a relationship. Rather, I didn't know God and had not developed a relationship. This is a pastor testifying. When I read this, I had not known him. And then he says, what it boiled down to was trust, right? God wants to heal us. He wants to remove our sinful behavior. He invites us to come to him. And I wanted to be in control of my own life. Do what I want to do, when I want to do. And he says to me, I must give him control. Right? That's what he's speaking about here. He says, I must give him control. And to give control of my life to God was to admit that I couldn't run my own life. And we feel like it's meaning we're failures. It's a submission of superiority. God is superior. You're mightier and you're better at this than I am. I couldn't run my own life. I hadn't had much luck with running my own life anyway to this day. It's not like, you know, giving it to somebody else and you feel like you're submitting failure. It's like you've been doing a better job when I'm a wako. No, the results were clear enough to everyone who knew me and had become clear to me as well. As I reflected on the choices I had made, I could see I was going downhill fast. So I asked God to make me willing to give my life over to Him. Oh, that's profound. Say that again, Charlie. As I reflected on the choices I had made, I could see I was going downhill fast. So I asked God to make me willing to be willing to give my life over to Him. He doesn't even entrust the giving of life to Himself. He says, "Now, Amanda, we nigele impilo yam. I can't do it by myself. So I need God to help me give Him my life." And so God has our best in mind. He actually has a plan for our lives. And our choice is whether we keep control and continue going away, or there's an alternative to allow Him to work out His plan for our lives. God wishes us no ill will. He desires us to live harmoniously with Him so we can finally have peace in our lives. And guess what? The choice is yours.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.